All right, we're beginning here on the bottom of Chet Amud Bet. The Gemara here is discussing Pesach Bizmano Lishmo Kasher, Shelo Lishmo Pasul. That a Pesach has brought in the proper time, that is Kasher. Shelo Lishem Pesach is Pasul. Ubishar Yimot HaShana, the remainder of the year, Shmo Pasul. If you bring it for the Shem Pesach, it's problematic. Shelo Lishmo Kasher. The Gemara then asks, Menahane Mile. How do you know that that is the case? And then we have the answer of Avuah Deshmuel, which we'll see in the middle of today's daf, is one of three possible answers to this question. And then the Gemara is going to ask, why do we need so many psukim to teach us the same din? But Avuah Deshmuel suggests that we learn it out of the pasuk, im min atzon korbano, zevach hashlamim la'ashem. The question of whether that is just mashma'uta kra, that's what Rashi suggests over here. Lav kra yitera kadorish. It's not being dorish the excess in the pasuk. Ela mashma uta dekra mashma lehochi. That's what the pasuk seems to mean. That it's a davar habam min hatzon. Something that comes from the tzon. The only korban that we have that is ba min hatzon is the korban ha-pesach. We'll challenge that today because there are other korbanot that have that din as well. But then the Baal Yetosafot disagree and say that min hatzon is extraneous, lashon. And that's because the presentation of the shlamim comes in three parts. It starts im zevach shlamim korbano im min ha-bakar. That's the first section. The next section is im min hatzon korbano the zevach shlamim. And within im min hatzon you have im kesev and then v'im eiz. The Tosfot says, to tell you im min hatzon, that's obvious, because the next two parshiot are kesef and eiz. Kesef and eiz are the only two things that are hatzon. So you didn't have to give the introduction im min hatzon. And he says it's the extraneous language that causes the limud. So that's how the Gemara believed that they got this drasha. It's something that comes from the tzon, which means korban ha-pesach, either Rashi through mashmuta pasuk, Tosfot through the extraneous language. Then karbanot zevach shlamim, la'ashem. Then it becomes a shlamim. So that's what a pesach that is shelo bizmano, that is done shelo lishmo, is considered to be a shlamim. That's the source. Then the Gemara challenged that and said, wait a minute, why don't we say this only if you do it the shame shlamim, it would work. If you do it the shame any other korban, it wouldn't work. That's where we had the lezevach shlamim. It could have just written the word shlamim. The fact that right, zevach tells you, no matter which korban you bring it for, no matter what you say, shelo lishmo by the Pesach, that turns into a shlamim. The Gemara says, why don't you say that whatever you make, say the korban is going to be, that's what it becomes. Not that if you make it into an olah, it'll turn into a shlamim. But if you make it into olah, maybe it becomes an olah. So that's where Rabbi Yochanan suggested, had it written, lishlamim v'zevach kidamart, hashlechtiv lezevach shlamim, b'kol d'shachit le shlamim lahavet. The order of the pasuk makes it that zevach shlamim teaches you that any zevach, anything you do it for, lishlamim will become a shlamim, and not vice versa. Then the Gemara suggested, let us say that zevach is a klal, shlamim is a prat, and therefore klal uprat, ein b'chlal elamashe b'prat, shlamim in b'dachrina lo. So then you would only be allowed, if you did it, l'shem shlamim, would it work? L'shem and eler korban, it would not work. Where it says, Hashem makes it into a klal uprat uklal. So then the Gemara says, okay, we have a klal uprat uklal, and you have a problem because the first klal is zevach, the second klal is Hashem. Zevach would only include animal korbanot. L'shem would include ufot and menachot also. So the klal of bratra is not similar to the klal of kamo. That the Gemara quotes what we saw already back in Daf Dalet, that Hatani Beirishmo, the Kalala Uprate Dorish Kihai Gavno, that we have such a concept. And now we're going to pick up here about seven lines from the bottom. Kalala Uprat Uklau, Iyata Dan Elegaina Prat. So now that you have a Kalala Uprat Uklau, you're done Kain the Prat, similar to the Prat. Ma Prat Mifurashu Sholo Lishmo, because share, just like the prat is something that you do it with the wrong intent, not the Shema Pesach, and is kasher. Af kol shehu shlo lishma v'kasher. So too, anything that's lo lishma will turn out to be kasher. Like Mar says, he ma prat mifurash dava ba b'neder midava. Af kol ba b'neder udidava. If you want to use the prat as the paradigmatic situation in which this happens, and you need to be similar to the prat, not only is it the prat that you do it lo lishma, it turns out to be kasher, and is a shlamim, but it should only be applicable when you do it l'neder ul'nidava, because that's what's unique about a shlamim. Olav shlamim. In, if you had in mind to bring it as an olah or a shlamim, that would work. Chatat v'asham, lo. But if you had in mind to bring it as a chatat v'asham, that would not work. Ela, the zevach ribuyahu. The word zevach is a ribuy. Over here you have a machloket Rashi and Tosafot as to what the solution is. Rashi says the solution is that there are two methods of drasha. One method of drasha is the school of Rabbi Shmuel, which is klal uprat uklal. And the other one is the school of Rabbi Akiva, which is riboy miut riboy, which the Gemara in Bava Kamma and Perek Meruba spends a lot of time on, going between the differences between them and when we invoke them. But the way Rashi is indicating here is that sometimes Rabbi Shmuel also learns riboy miut riboy. It's not exclusive that he uses klal uprat uklal. And that's what he says here, that the lashon of a zebach is enu lashon klal. Lo dashin lebi klal prat, she'en klalot pratot, ba'im mi ribui lashon, el mashmuta mikraot. And that's why Rashi before said the whole demon came out of the understanding of the pasuk. It's a very important Rashi. Rashi says over here, what tells you whether to use klal prat uklal, or to use ribui umil to ribui? He says that a klal prat uklal is not because there's something extra in the pasuk. It's not because the pasuk has extraneous language, something that doesn't belong. Rather, that's the simple interpretation of the pasuk. For instance, by maser, that's what he brings the example, which it says, b'chol asher taveh nafshecho, that anything you want is the klal. And then it says, minam beima, bakar, betzon, it gives you examples of what the maser are. And then it gives you a klal afterwards. There's nothing extraneous in it, just the fact that it's structured, it has a general term, particulars, then a general term. That's a klal uprat uklal. But, aval lezevach shlamim, shtei tevot dvukotem, kilu gdiv, lezevach hashlamim, v'kro yetera ba'almuhu. It's extraneous. The language is extraneous. It was unnecessary. You could have just written a single word and gotten the same outcome. That means that the word is extraneous. Once the word is extraneous, then you can't use klal uprat uklal anymore. And based on that, now you have a ribui that includes, or is it more inclusive, that the ribui includes everything. Baya Tosafot, on the other hand, say, it turns into a ribui miut uribui. The difference between klal prat uklal is that the prat is a defining part of the klal. It comes to explain or explicate on the klal. Riboy miut or riboy, we don't see the miut as being something that's explaining the riboy, but rather something that simply is memayit. So therefore, in a klal prat uklal, the prat, we say is ke'ena prat, because there the prat is defining the klal. It's giving explanation to the klal. But riboy miut to riboy, we say riboy to kol. Everything's included, and miut, all it does is ma'ayit, one specific item, and here we don't have what that miut would be, but it would exclude one thing. The Gemara never indicates what that item is that is excluded. And therefore, we're going to include everything. No matter what you have in mind here, it's going to turn into a shlamim. So now Rashi never actually says the words ribui miut to ribui. Could be Rashi's just learning it from the ribui in general, the rabot. But the Baalei Tosafot are clearly learning it that way. And that is mashmalei the Gemara shu ribuya kedamar bechol klala kol ribuya the mashmalei the chalek ben kol libakol. So he quotes from Perek Meruba in Baba Kama that says that the word kol and bikol have different views. Kol would turn out to be a klal uprat uklal, and bikol would be a ribuy miut to ribuy. And he says the same thing over here, that with regards to the pasuk, it says lizevach hashlamim, not zevach hashlamim. So zevach hashlamim would have been you a klal uprat uklal. The le zevach shlamim, just like the kol and bikol are differentiated in that way. So too, over here, lezevach instead of zevach have the same differentiation, and that makes it into a ribui miut and ribui instead of a klal uprat uklal. So that's how the Baalei Tosafot think it comes about. But in either case, you have here something that's merabe, any type of thought about a korban will turn it into a shlamim. Where it says, Ema l'chol d'shachit le'lahavi kabatei. Now we're back to a question we had asked earlier, which is, okay, now we accept that if you do it shlo lishmo, no matter what lo lishmo is, it will become a shlamim. Gemara says, well, how do you know it becomes a shlamim? Just say anything that's lo lishmo will become exactly what you think it is. So you think it's a chatat, it'll be a chatat. You think it's an olah, it'll become an olah. So here we have Amar Rabbi Avin. Dochim kodoshim ha-nechalim, etzel kodoshim ha-nechalim. We're going to say that if you're going to turn the Pesach into something, the Pesach is a korban that's eaten. It should turn into a korban that is eaten. You're not going to make something that is an eaten korban into something that is not eaten. Now that only helps you with regards to an olah. Olah is the only korban that is not eaten. So now you still have the problem of chatat and asham. So atu chatat basham milo mitachle. Chatat and Hashem are also eaten. Now, the Havamina here, which is very interesting, that you would turn a Korban of Pesach into a Chatat v'Hashem, is very interesting because of the fact that they come from different animals, and they are functioning differently. meaning that a chatan has arba matanot on the mizbeach. A shlamim, or even a pesach, pesach has one, and then a shlamim has shtayim shen arba. A pesach only comes from zecharim, a chatan only comes from nekevot. A pesach only comes from a ben shana in its first year. Most of the ashamot only come from an ayil, which is shtei shanim. So despite the differences, you're going to have to say that it would be some form of gzeirat hakatuv that you could convert the pesach into a chatat vasham, even though logically it doesn't even make sense that you would convert it into a chatat vasham because the animals are all different in all these cases. Ella dochim kodshim enechalim lechol adam. It's a kodoshim enechalim lechol adam. Here is the comparison. We want to change the pesach into a korban that is similar in nature to it. The pesach is eaten by anyone. Now, anyone here is somewhat limited because you have to be appointed or be a part of this korban of pesach. But in general, anybody can eat it. That means a zakein, a tzair, a woman, a man, Israel, kohen. There's no differentiation between who can participate in a korban of pesach. So too by a shlamim. A shlamim can be eaten by anyone. Vein dochim kodshim nechalim lechol adam, etzu kodoshim sheinu nechalim lechol adam. We're not going to make a Pesach, which is eaten by anyone, and make it into a Korban, like Chatat Vasham, where it's only the Zichrei Kehuna. Only the male Kohanim are allowed to participate in the Korban, because they are Kodshe Kodoshim. And for that reason, it does only make sense to make a Pesach into a Shlamim, because that keeps it as similar as possible to what it was before. And that's the logic extended here. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Avin Amar, Dochim Kodshim Kalim, Etzo Kodshim Kalim. We would take Kodshim Kalim and put it by Kodshim Kalim. Pesach is Kodshim Kalim, so is Shlamim. Vein dochim Kodshim Kalim, it's a Kodshe Kodoshim. And we would not make Kodshim Kalim, a Pesach, into Kodshe Kodoshim, which is an Olah, Chatat, and Hashem. Doesn't make sense to all of a sudden upgrade it when you do it to Lishmo. That's the logic behind why it turns into a Shlamim. The Baalei Tosafot point out there is a Nafkamina between these two Lishonot, and that is Bechor. Whether you could bring it as a Bechor, which the Gemara will ask in a second, why doesn't it turn into a Bechor? But that question is only applicable according to the one who says that the reason we make it into a Shlamim is because it's Kodshim Kalim. Bechor is also a Kodshim Kalim. That would be the nature of the Gemara's question. Well, if it's a Kodshim Kalim, why can't you create a Bechor from it? According to the one who says it's Nechalim Lechol Adam, that question doesn't exist because a Bechor is only eaten by Kohanim. It's not eaten by anyone. And so therefore, according to version that comes from Rabbi Avin, that version would not have the problem. Although the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Avin would have that question. And that's what Tosafot says the Nafkamina between these two Lishanot are. Matkifla Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Svarin, Eima Shachte L'Shem Ma'aser, L'Havi Ma'aser. Whether you're saying it's Kodshim Kalim, or whether you're saying that it's L'Chol Adam, there is a subset of Kodshim Kalim that also have these, and they're actually much more similar to a Pesach. There's a threesome that is packed together. That's an Ezumu Koman, the last Mishnah there. Kepesa Bechor Vamaser. Those three are put together. They're similar in nature because they all require only one Shvichat Adam or Shvichat Adam on the Mizbeach. As opposed to Shlamim, they require Shtayim Shein Arba. And they're grouped together as a subset of Kodshim Kalim. So if you're going to say that it should either be eaten by everyone or a subset of Kodshim Kalim, then the Maser is the most similar to a Korban HaPesach. So why don't you say it turns into a Maser? Why does it make a difference whether you call it a shlamim or whether you call it a maser? So the truth is, there would be one difference, is the matnot dam. But you could argue that the Gemara later on will tell us that the matnot dam are not ma'akev. As long as you get one matana dam on the mizbeach, for any korban, that is sufficient. So that won't be enough of a reason to say that there's a difference. Delo liboye nisachim, because you don't need nisachim. Libations only come with a shlamim. Libations do not come with a maser. So the difference would be, do you have to bring libations along with this Korban Pesach that you did Shlod Ishma, that's now turning either into a Shlamim, where you would require Nisachim, or is it turning into a Maser, where you would not need Nisachim? The Baalei Tosafot say there's also other differences, which is the Tnufa Chazeh V'Shok, what you mentioned before, that's unique to a Shlamim. So you'd require Nisachim and Tnufa Chazeh V'Shok. Those are all part of a Shlamim. For a Maser, it's eaten by the owners of the maser, and none of those are required. Ula milka alei belo yigael. In addition to get malkot, there is, we'll learn in Masechet Bechorot, there is a restriction against redeeming and selling a maser behema, and that comes out of the pasuk of belo yigael. Based on that, if it's a maser, that restriction would apply. If it is shlamim, that restriction would not apply. As the Bali Tosafot point out, this is a very difficult statement, because the Gemara in Bechorot notes that after Shechita, there is no restriction of Lo Yigael. After the animal is already shechted, then the restriction of Lo Yimacher and Lo Yigael do not apply. And here, of course, it's after Shechita, because beforehand it was a Pesach. The whole reason you're making it for Shlamim is because you shechted it Shelo Lishmo, the Pesach. That's how it ended up becoming a Shlamim. That means you're post-Shechita, and there's no restriction of Lo Yigael. So either you have to say, which we'll see in the Gemara coming up, that the girsah here should not be ula milka ale, but rather the girsah here should be ula mekim ale. And you can see that in Shita Mikubetz at Od Bet. He says that it will have that restriction, not that you will actually get malkot for it, but that restriction will generally apply to it. That's one possibility. Or the Bali Tosfot seem to end off with maybe it means midarabanan, that it's malkot midarabanan, not midaraita. Those are the two ways to deal with the issue. But nevertheless, that would be the nafkamino between it being a maser and shlamim. My answer is a makra, I siri kodesh. The din by maser beima is the 10th one is kodesh. Ze maser, vein acher maser. The only way to create a maser beima is yavor tachar shevet, when it goes under the staff of the individual and he counts out 10. If you're the 10th one, that's how you become maser beima. You can't create maser beima willy-nilly or just out of making something kodesh. You can't be maktish something for maser beima. Maser beima is a process by which the 10th one becomes kadosh automatically, and that is where maser beima is created. You can't create it through any other means. So that's why it would not be considered maser beima. Eima shachte l'shem b'chor, l'avik b'chor. Shachte l'shem b'chor, it would become a b'chor. Again here, this is within the category of maser beima, b'chor, and pesach. So it would make sense to also have become a b'chor. That's number one. Number two, we said before, that was the nafkamina between the two reasons. So this would only be a question according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Avin, who said you're making it to Kochim Kalim, because b'chor is a Kochim Kalim. According to the Rabbi Avin, who said that it has to be eaten by the same groups of individuals, b'chor wouldn't have that because b'chor is only eaten by Kohanim. L'mai hilchata. So what would be the difference between a b'chor and a shlamim? The lowly bai nisachim. Once again here, the nafkamina would be that shlamim come with nisachim. A b'chor doesn't come with nisachim. Inami, the late vela kohanim. Also, the other nafkamina would be, who gets to eat it? If it's shlamim, anyone can eat it. If it is a b'chor, then only the kohanim could eat it. So Gemara says, b'chor nami, avara, avara, mimaser, gamar. We have a gzera shava that's invoked a number of times to learn things between b'chor and maser. And that is because by the b'chor it says, v'avarta kol peter rechem. And by maser it says, kol asher yavor, tachar ashevet. So the word v'avarta and yavor, even though they're not the same word, they're the same shoresh. And the Gemara makes it into a gzera shava of avara, avara. That gzera shava teaches you the same thing, that just like maser is not something that you can create by yourself, then so too, b'chor is not something you can create by yourself. You're right that the Torah only prescribes b'chor because it's peterechem, but that doesn't mean that you can't create it some other way. By maser, it gives you a term of exclusivity, which says this is the only way to create it. By b'chor, it doesn't do that. And so now the Gemara uses the gzer shova to teach you that that's the case. The Gemara says, okay, v'ema shachte l'shem t'mura, v'have t'mura. If you shecht it for t'mura, let it be t'mura. T'mura is something that we've discussed before. We'll come up in Masechet T'mura. We'll discuss it a lot more. Which is that if you try to exchange an animal onto chulin, you say that this shlamim that I have, this ola that I have, I don't want it to be kadosh on this animal. I want to move it over to another animal. The prescription of the Torah is hu t'mura toli kodesh, that you are unsuccessful at doing this. In part, you are unsuccessful at removing the kedusha from the previous animal, but you are successful at being maktish, the new animal. That's number one. Number two is that you get malkot for doing that because you violated the lotase of creating t'mura. So here he says, what happens if you shechtet l'shem t'mura, that it'll be a t'mura. So I ask, my lemay hilchoto. Then what is the aloch over here that would make a difference if it's a t'mura or if it's a shlomim? The milka alei. It's whether you get malkot for it, meaning that are you creating t'mura or are you making it into a shlamim? Nagmar says, the Shita Mekubetze takes out, inami that make him alei, below yimacher, below yigael. He takes that out, says it's not relevant over here, because these psukim are associated with maiser ve'ema. It happens to be that it's learnt out of the parshiyah of t'mura, because those two parshiyot overlap over there, And that's why maybe the Gemara brings it over here. The Shita Mugbetza takes it out. But the one thing to note about it is you can see over here, Lemekim Alei, which is the different Girsa that Shita Mugbetza said before, not Lemilka Alei, but rather Lemekim Alei. And that would support saying that the Girsa before was also Lemekim Alei. Now, in terms of some of my Sutra Breda Rav Nachman Makra, by Yahu, Utmurato Yakodesh. So it says there, it, the original animal, and the exchange animal become Kodesh. Zot Mura, Veinacher Tmura. You can't simulate Tmura. Tmura is only when you exchange one animal into the next. You can't simulate it. So then, going back to your question, what is the Tmura over here? He wants to create something that has the din of Tmura without doing Tmura. The Nafkamina we just saw would be the question of whether you'll get Malkot for it, and whether it will have a status of Tmura, which we'll see when we get to the Gemarot in Tmura, that maybe Tmura can make another Tmura as opposed to a Shlamim that can't. I mean, that the dinim of the animal would be different than that of a Shlamim. So Gemara says you can't do that because Tmura could exclusively be created through an exchange, not through your being Makdishit L'Shem Tmura. Veima, Shachte L'Shem Todah, Labiki Todah. Maybe if you Shachte for a Todah, it'll be a Todah. Now what we're saying is you have Shlamim. Todah we know is a subset of Shlamim. So why not say that if he does it L'Shem Todah, it'll be a Todah. The Mayhil Chata. What would be the Nafkamin over here? Latino lechem. That is that you would require to bring the 40 chalot that come with a todah. You'd have to do that here. The truth is that there is another nafkamina, which is zman. Very good. That the other possibility is that a todah can only be eaten for one day and one night, as opposed to a shlamim that can be eaten for 2 days and the night in between. So that would be another nafkamina between them. Miika mide de pesach kufei lo bai lechem umotro bai lechem. So what are you going to say now? The korban pesach itself does not require lechem. But a leftover Pesach now is going to require lechem, meaning that you're going to upgrade the necessity of what you need to bring. Where it says, so iochi, if that's what you want to use as the logic, you already have that problem with the shlamim. Hashanami, miyika mida de Pesach gufei lo bai nesachim. The Pesach itself doesn't come with the nesach, umotro bai nesachim. On the other hand, the leftover Pesach, or the Pesach that's converted into a shlamim, does require nesach. So you see that you can upgrade in a sense that you have to have more obligations with it. Because the Pesach doesn't have Nesach, but Shlamim do, and when you change it from a Pesach to a Shlamim, you're going to bring Nesachim. So why not say the same thing with the Todah? Todah, yes. When it's a Pesach, it doesn't require Lechem. When it's made into a Todah, it does require Lechem. Now, I'll just say this as a Mamar Muzgar. There's a lot more to say about it. But the Korban of Pesach does require Lechem. It's just a different form of Lechem. The Korban of Pesach requires Matzah with it, and so does the Korban Todah. 30 out of the 40 Chalot are Matzah by the Korban Todah, and so it's not so far-fetched to think of it in that way. Nevertheless, the Gemara sees them as being totally separate issues and does not include the matzah here with the lechem. But he says, Ana hachi kamrinan. This is what we meant to ask. Mi ika mide de motor todah tzma lo ba'i lechem. What about a todah itself? An excess todah does not require lechem. Vila motor da achilu mi almo ba'i lechem. And then a motar that comes from somewhere else is not going to require lechem. That means by a todah. For instance, if you had a Korban Todah that you're going to bring and it got lost, and then you were mafrish a different Todah to bring, and then you find the original Todah. So then you bring the original Todah with its lechem, and then you also have to bring the replacement Todah. When you bring the replacement Todah, it does not require lechem. You don't have to bring the lechem with it. And that's because only a primary Todah is brought with lechem, but nothing else is brought with lechem. And that's the Pasuk Rashi quotes it over here. Zevach HaTodah Ta'un Lechem. That only the Todah itself requires lechem, not anything that is exchanged for it, not anything that is born from it, not anything that is replacing it. None of those require lechem. So here the Todah itself, if you have an excess Todah, does not require lechem. Also the case where you're mafrish l'achrayut, that could be the case as well, that you have an excess Todah, that doesn't have lechem. Now you're going to tell me a Pesach, which was never a Todah. I had said before there's a possibility that you could argue it is a Todah, or form of Todah because of the Matzah. But nevertheless, you have a Pesach, which is not a Todah. Now you're going to say when it becomes a Motar Pesach, it's also going to require Lechem. If Motar Todah itself doesn't require Lechem, Motar Pesach should not require Lechem. Matkif la Rav Yemar Breda Rav Hillel, Umimimai, the Motar Pesach, Tiv. How do you know the Psukim here are speaking about a Motar Pesach? Dilma of a Motar Ashmuntar Asham Tiv. Maybe it's talking about a leftover asham. So now here, underlying this, there are a number of considerations. The first of which is something that you should know, because it's going to come up in other places, And I think that the psukim are miduyak about this. Again, not for the discussion over here, but the pasuk of Zot HaTorah, which we invoked before, has the miluim in there. And on either side of the miluim, there's an asham and a shlamim. That, I think, is because miluim is actually both an asham and a shlamim. But that is because asham and shlamim are not so easily discernible. And asham and shlamim basically look the same in many ways. Shlamim is shtayim shein arba, that goes on the mizbeach, and so is an asham, shtayim shein arba. Difference is an asham is kodshei kodashim, which means that it's only eaten for a day and a night. A shlamim is for 2 days and the night in between, because it's kodshim kalim. That also means an asham has to be done in the tzafon. Shlamim can be done anywhere in the Azara. But a shlamim can be done in the tzafon. And so when you're up there, how do you know if it's whether it's a shlamim or an asham? It's very hard to discern or tell between them. But this is a korban asham and a korban shlamim. Now an asham can only come from an ayil in general. But a shlamim can also come from an ayil. So that means that you really don't have a distinction between them. Now if you bring a bakar, then you know it's not a nasham, then you know that it's a shlamim. But in the world of tzon, if you bring in an ayil, then it's hard to discern between them. And that's why you'll see many times the Gemara is looking at shlamim and nasham, and they seem very similar. The question, or the nature of his question is here, is that an nasham is also something that comes from the word tzon. It comes from tzon, and so does shlamim come from tzon. So when you said now that the word imin atzon korbanot zevach shlamim, that is the limud, how do you know imin atzon over there is a reference to the korban pesach that comes from the tzon? Why don't you say it is a reference to asham that also comes from the tzon? That means that when you have a motar asham, then the din will be that the motar asham becomes a shlamim. Even though it'll turn out to be a little strange here, because you have a loch of the Moshe Mitzinai, that motar asham is the olah, is brought as an olah. So then what does that mean here, that a motar asham is going to be a shlamim? The Tosfot asks here, says, V'yesh lomar ha'idechtiv l'zevach shlamim. Lav shiyen l'zevach shlamim. Not that that will make it into a shlamim. El shi'akor shem asham mimenu l'shokhto l'shem shlamim. O l'shem zevach acher. Just teaching you, if you do it shalo l'shmo, or the shlamim, or for any other item, that will work. And l'olam karev olah. But in the end, it will be an olah on the mizbeach. So he says, that will be the mechanism for which you take it away from being an asham. That will be making it into a shlamim. So anything you do, the shame, something else, will turn it into another korban. What that korban is, that comes from the halacha Moshe Mitzinai, and it will be an olah. So anyway, it's a strange limud, because then it's not very similar to the Pesach. Pesach, we're saying not only are you doing the shame shlamim, it's going to turn into a shlamim. But here you're saying we're going to do the asham, the shame shlamim, it's going to turn into an olah, which was the habamin of the Gemara before, that no matter which zevach you do it for, it'll turn into a shlamim. For Hashem too. Any zevach you do it to, it'll turn into an olah, even though it's coming from the parshia of shlamim, which would be a little strange. But nevertheless, that's the Gemara's question over here. Amarov, amar kroa, ve'im min atzon korbano, v'zevach shlamim. Davar hashaveh b'chol atzon. This is the way Rashi learns it, that b'chol atzon means something that is applicable to all tzon across the board. The korban ha-pesach can be brought from any type of tzon. That means it can be brought from a kesev. Pashia says kesev or keves and an ace. It can be brought from sheep or goats. Doesn't matter. That means b'chol atzon. Whereas a korban asham can only brought from a keves because it's only brought from an ayil. So it only has one of the two tzon. It's not from tzon in general. It's a subset of tzon, which is ayil. For that reason, it must be speaking about the korban ha-pesach and not speaking about an asham. Matkif la Rabbi Yavin bar Chiya, v'item Rabbi Yavin bar Kahana, b'chol atar, at amart. In any other situation, you tell us the word min is lotzi, that it is a exclusive term. Gan min l'rabot. And now you're telling me that this word min is an inclusive term. You have the parshiyah begins im min atzon, korbeno. And there you say that that's coming to include something. It's coming to tell you that a motar pesach is a shlamim. That's an inclusive type of term. Yet, in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, when it says, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, v'amart aleim, Adam, ki yakrib mikem korban Hashem, min ha-beima, min ha-bakar, min ha-tzon, tagribu et korbanchem. The Chazal over there, on each one of those, min, say that that is an exclusive term. If you look at Rashi on the Chumash, he brings min ha-beima, v'lo kula. Not every type of beima. Lotzi et ha-roveya, v'et ha-nirba. Min ha-bakar, lotzi et ha-ne'avad. Min ha-tzon, lotzi et ha-mukseh. So you have each one of them is coming to exclude something else. So the min is an exclusive term telling you that it doesn't include everything. It's like a mem as a preposition before a word. The mem means from amongst. And from amongst means there's something that's excluded. Now you're telling me here the word imin atzon by the Shlamim means inclusive, to include something else rather than exclude something else. So how could you do that? Wait a minute, the min over here is also an exclusive term. It's because, according to Pesach, yes, it comes from all tzon, but it doesn't come from all genders of tzon, and it doesn't come from all ages of tzon. A korban Pesach must be a zachar, and must be a ben shana, has to be within its first year in a zachar. So that's what the min comes to tell you, that we're not speaking about anything tzon. We're speaking about the Pesach, because the Pesach comes from all tzon, but it's still limited. That doesn't come shtei shtanim, and it doesn't come as a nekeva. Mat kifloi rav chano bakta. We bumped into him before, rav chano from Baghdad. Mi matzi darmart. Can you say that? Techik tiv. Hai, bemotar Pesach tiv. How can you say this being bemotar Pesach? Baminich tiv im kesev im eis. Michlal, dela bemotar Pesach tiv. Wait a minute, why don't you look at the next psukim that come up here by the Shlamim, which is, this is the header, imin atzon korbano. Then the parshia says, ve'im kesev hu makriv, and then it continues later on, v'im eis korbano. Why can it be speaking about motar pesach? Because right away it says kesef and eis. If you're talking about a korban pesach, by definition it's a kesef or eis, because that's the only things that it can come from. I mean that we already know from the Parshia of Korban HaPetzach that that's talking about a sheep and a goat. So why do you need the Parshia here by Shlamim to tell you even its own and then tell you about Kesef and Eis? Doesn't need to define that for you. That's already known information. So he says, Hamim Bayilei, look at it, Tanya. We need that for the Braita. Keves, the Rabot, et a Pesach, la Aliyah. So that comes to teach you that the Pesach also has the requirements of the fats of the tail being put on the Zbeach. Sheomer, im Keves. Lerabot Pesach Shibra Shnata Vishlamim Abayim Achmada Pesach Duchom Mitzvot Shlamim Shitanu Smicha Unisachim Utnufat Chaze Vishok Shomer Imeis Hifsik Ainyan Limedala Eis Shenu Tuna Aliyah. So here you have a limud from the Psukim that teach you a differentiation which is actually important. It's a differentiation that exists within Shlamim, and now we're applying it to Korban Pesach as well. We actually learned this before, that a kesev, or a keves, is a word in the Torah is exchanged many times, it means the same thing, it's a sheep. But a sheep, including in the matnot that go on the mizbeach, is an additional item called the fats of the tail. Not only do the fats, the chelev, and the emurim end up on the mizbeach, but also the aliyah, tail fat, also ends up on the mizbeach. That's uniquely associated with a kesev or a keves. That is not true of an eis. An eis, which doesn't really have a tail, so it doesn't have the tail fats that go on the mizbeach. What we're saying here is that the Lashon of Im Kesef and the Lashon of Im Eiz is not coming to teach you about where the Korban HaPesach comes from, that we knew already. So then why do you need them enumerated here? Come to teach you two things. One thing is to teach you that, just like by Shlamim, there's a differentiation between a Keves and an Eiz. That same differentiation exists by a Korban HaPesach. That means if you bring a Pesach that's a sheep, you're going to have to put the Aliyah, the fats of the tail on his back. Bring a Korban HaPesach that's an Eiz, then you will not have to put the fats of the tail on his back. That's the famous story that we quoted earlier in the beginning of the Gemara Pesachim, where that goy was bringing a Korban Pesach every year, and he's saying, they never caught me. And that's when they said to him, oh, did you ever get the best part of the Korban? Did you get the tail fats? And so he goes up and asks them for the tail fats, and they go, what's going on over here? Why is this guy asking for the tail fats? Who told you this? And they tell them that the Tano, who had told them that information, and then they figure out that this guy is a goy, and he's asking for the tail fats. But that's because it was a keves. And he's asking for the tail fats, which go to the mizbeach. Bali Tosfot over there, Rashi discussed what happens if he brought an eis. Maybe he could have eaten the tail fats. So they say either rov, korbanot, pesach were brought from the keves, or he told him to take a keves and ask for the tail fats. Either way. But that's that story, because that's related to this din. So that's the first thing. The distinction that's brought here is not just a distinction within Shlamim, but it's also a distinction that is found within the Korban HaPesach itself. Because Im Kesev is extraneous over here, if it says Im Min Atzon, and then the next parsha says Im Min HaEiz, then it's obvious that the first parsha is speaking about Im Keves, or Im Kesev. It has to be talking about a sheep. So then why mention Im Kesev? It must be that it's coming to teach you something, and that's what the Bright is saying. That's what it teaches you, that there's distinction exists between the Kesev and the Eiz, which is true by the Shlamim, is also true by the Pesach as well. And in addition to that, that extraneous language also teaches you that a im keves l'rabot Pesach she'ibra shnata, that comes to include a Pesach who's passed its year. Meaning that if a korban of Pesach went over a year, it's only allowed to be brought within its first year, then it also becomes a shlamim. Ushlamim abayim machmada Pesach. Over here this is a controversial statement. Rashi over here says, what's the shlamim that comes with the Pesach? That's what otherwise is known as chagigat arbasar. Korban shlamim that comes to allow you to eat the Pesach ala sova. If you have too many people in the korban of Pesach, you're not going to eat ala sova. You bring a chagigat arbasar, which is also a shlamim, that is brought in order to have as the main meal, and then the Pesach to be eaten as the dessert, or the last piece that you're going to eat from amongst the food that you have that night. And that's what's called chagigat arbasar. So Rashi claims that it's chagigat arbasar over here, which would indicate, or that the belief that a chagigat arbasar is brought to Shnei Yamim Balayla Echad. The problem is that Rashi on Chumash in Parshat Tzav by Im Zevach Todat Shtamav says over there that that's referring to a chagigat yudalit, and that's only brought the Yom Balayla and not the Shnei Yamim Balayla Echad. That's a steer in Rashi, as well as Rashi in Parshat Re'eh also says there that it's referring to a Chagigat Yudalit, which seems to indicate that it's Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad. And so that is a steer in Rashi that is noted both by the Bali Tosafot and the Ramban al Torah. And over here, the Tosafot says that the explanation here cannot be Chagigat Yudalit, but rather the explanation should be Motar HaPesach, Ushlamim HaBayim Machmat HaPesach. It's not like Rashi's thinking over here that it's coming along with the Pesach, but it's something that's coming because of the Pesach. That is a motar Pesach, which either is a case where you have lost the Pesach, separated a new one, then found the original, or in a case where you separated two Pesachim originally, l'achrayut. So then you have a motar Pesach, and motar Pesach becomes a shlamim. So that's what the reference is to over here, and not to chagigat yudalit. Turns out, it's a Gadu Dalit, subject to a Machloket Tanaim, actually, in the Gemara in Pesachim, between Ben Tema and the Chachamim. It's a Machloket in the Mishnah, as to whether a Gadu Dalit has a din like a regular Shlamim, as in Pishnei Yamim, Belayla Echad, or has a din like a Korban HaPesach, that it is the din of a Korban HaPesach, and therefore it's only eaten for Yom Belayla, which is only eaten for that day, but you can't eat it till in that night. That night is the night of the Korban HaPesach, and that's it. And then the Gemara goes on to ask, on that Shita, how similar is it to Korban HaPesach? Is there a din that you're not allowed to break the bones? Is there a din that it has to be eaten sleep? And it seems from the Gemara over there that all of these dinim apply. So there is a machloket with the Chagigat Yudalit, how much it looks like a shlamim, and how much it looks like a Korban HaPesach. That machloket tanim has influence on whether you explain here that the shlamim that's coming with the Korban HaPesach, which type of shlamim is it? Is it a shlamim that is a Chagigat Yudalit, or is it a shlamim that is the motar a Pesach? And that's because Chagigat Yudalit can really look like a shlamim, or can really look like a Pesach. And depending on what your opinion is, that might also influence what you're saying over here. The stira in Rashi, even in Chumash, about how to explain it. Rashi over here is, if you explain that you're speaking about a Chagigat Yudalit, then the Chagigat Yudalit is eating for Shnei Yamim, Velayla Echad. Yet on Chumash, he learns it out of Basar Zevach Todah Shlamav, learns it out from the Todah, which is Yom Velayla. So in Chumash, he's bringing the Shita Ben Tema, that is Yom Belayla. And over here, he's saying that it's a Chagigat Yudalit, as it didn't like a Shlamim, it's Shnei Yamim Belayla Echad. Now that does match up with Rashi and Re'eh, who says that that's speaking about a Chagigat Yudalit, and there it's speaking about the Shita of the Rabbonon, that it is a Shlamim, and it's a Shnei Yamim Belayla Echad. There are those that speculate how to resolve it for Rashi. Anyway, that's within Rashi. You can see here that the Bali Tosafot have a long explanation as to why Rashi is wrong, and believe that the Pesach that we're speaking about here is a Motar Pesach, which is eaten for Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad. So, Bayim Pesach, so Chol Mitzvot Shlamim, that these have the same Dinim as Shlamim. What does it mean that you have the same Dinim as Shlamim? Number one, you require Smicha. You need Nesachim. You need Tnufat Chazev Shok. All the things that are uniquely associated with the Shlamim will apply to a Motar Pesach, as well as a Pesach She'ibra Shnato, that went past its year. But that's why you need Im Keves, Im Eis, to teach you, number one, that it has all the dinim of shlamim, and number two is to teach you that, so much so, that there's a difference between a keves and an eis with regards to the fats of the tail. Now the Gemara says, v'ha mihacha nafka, is that where we learn this out from? Mida avua d'shmuel nafka. That we learn out from the limud of avua d'shmuel, amar avua d'shmuel, v'min atzon korbano l'zevach shlamim, davar min atzon yeh l'zevach shlamim. That's where we learn it out. The Gemara is saying now here, Motar HaPetzach is a Shlamim. Now we know that from Im Keves. What do you mean? That's where we know it from. We know it from Ve'im Minatzom. That's where Avod the Shmo, who started out the Sugi over here, Minahane Milei, and then we said, Amar Avod the Shmo, Merkra, Ve'im Minatzom, Kormenola, Zevach Shlamim. That was the source for the Shlamim. Now you're telling me that the Breita brings a different source. Keves Arob Pesach Shibrash Natar Shlamim Abayim Machmana Pesach. Now you use the Minatzom, the Breita uses Kesev U'Makriv Et Kormenol, V'Makriv Oto Lifnei Hashem. So we're saying that Im Kesev is the source based on the Breita. According to Avodah Shmuel, the source is Im Minatzom Kormenol Zevach Shlamim. And then Bakate, we have a third source. Mide Rab Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua Nafko. How do we know that a leftover Pesach is called a Shlamim? Shnemar, Zavachta Pesach Lashem Lokecha, Tzon Ubakar. That's the Pasuk in Re'eh, which said Tzon Ubakar, which we mentioned before. Lo Pena Pesach Ba'ela Mina Kvasim Umina Izim. So then how can you be speaking about Pesach? Lamikan, the Motor Pesach Shein Tavara Ba'mina Tzon Umina Bakar, Umayniu Shlamim. So Rashi again over there says that that's referring to Chagigat Yudalit. Again, Tzon Bakar, the only korban that has that breadth of both gender and types of animals is a shlamim. And that's why we say that the Motar Pesach is a shlamim. Ela Tlata Krai Ktive. Now we have three sources for the fact that a Motar Pesach is considered to be a shlamim. So why do you need three different psukim? Chad Ibra Zmano Ve'Ibra Shnato. One of comes to teach you about a Pesach that first of all has aged out, and has passed its time. And that this is post-Pesach, and the animal's also post a year. And so it's disqualified for two reasons. It's disqualified because you're after Pesach. It's disqualified because you're also past the time in which it could be brought, the first year of its life. So that's one puzzle. One of them comes to teach you a case where you're past Pesach, but you're not graduated out, it's not too old. And one of them comes to teach you about where it's not past Pesach, and it's also not aged out. All three of those, Motar Pesach, become Shlamim. So now, B'tzriche, we need all of them. Had you only written one of those Psukim, Habamino, I would have thought, Eichad Ibrashnato Vizmano, in a case where it's aged out, and it's past Pesach, De'idchi mi Pesach legamrei. That's totally knocked out of Pesach, because it's past the time of Pesach, and it's also aged out. That's why it turns into shlamim. About Ibra's mano velo shnato. What happens if it's past Pesach, but it's still a year old, I mean it's still within the first year of its life? Techazi the Pesach sheni. It's still good for Pesach sheni then. Emalo. Maybe then it would not become a shlamim, and it would remain a Pesach. Bika dachrona hane tarte. Had it been written those two psukim, and we covered when it aged out and it passed Pesach, and we covered even after Pesach but not aged out, then I would think, because both of them are still knocked out of their original purpose. If you're prior to Pesach, and you also have not graduated out, meaning that you haven't passed a year, the cause of the Pesach, that's still really the Pesach, I would think it wouldn't turn into a shlamim. Therefore I need all three of them. The Balei Tosafot point out, the Ibra Shnato Uzmano also includes Hu Adin Shnato below Uzmano. The truth is that if it aged out before Pesach, it would be the same as aging out post-Pesach. Because once it ages out before Pesach, it's completely disqualified from being a Pesach. And that's the equivalent of being post-Pesach and aged out. So he says that would be included there. In addition, this is obviously speaking at a case where the person themselves brought a Pesach already on Pesach Rishon. If they had not brought a Pesach on Pesach Rishon, then literally it is Ra'oi LePesach Sheni, and it's the equivalent of having a Pesach prior to Pesach. When we say that it's prior to Pesach Sheni, it means that this person already used his Pesach for Pesach Rishon. He has this extra Pesach. Since it would be Ra'oi for someone else on Pesach Sheni, that's why it would still, maybe you would think, is not turned into a Shlamim. The Gemash Malon is each Pesach tells you that that is still considered to be a Shlamim, and all of these items turn into a Shlamim. And then just to note, the Balei HaTosafot back on Chet Amud Bet noted this, and then early in the Masechta on Daf Bet also noted this, that there is a difference between a Pesach Lifnei Zmano and a Pesach Achar Zmano. We'll get to that later in the Masechta, which the conclusion is that a Pesach Achar Zmano, when you shecht it stam, it turns into a Shlamim. Because Pesach Achar Zmano, that is what it is Ra'oi for, is a Shlamim. Because by definition, you can't use it as a Pesach again. By the time you get to next Pesach, it will be aged out. There's no question that you can't use it for a Pesach. A Pesach Lifnei Zmano, the default status is that it is a Pesach. And therefore, in order to be Oker, the Shem Pesach, you have to have in mind that you're doing it the Shem something else and not the Shem Pesach. Because Pesach Lifnei Zmano requires an Akira of the Shem Pesach from it. A Pesach post-Pesach does not require the Akira at the Shem. So even though here the Gemara groups them all together as if it's one item, the truth is that there is a distinction between pre-Pesach and post-Pesach with regards to the Akira at the Shem. But in the end, we have three sources for the fact that a Motar Pesach is Shlamim, from Abu Ad Shmuel, which is Imin Atzon, from the Breita, which is Im Kesef Hu Makriv, and from Rav Nachman, in the name of Rabbi Bar Bua, that Motar Pesach comes from a Zavachta Pesach Hashem Lokechka, Bakar Batzon is in Parshat Re'eh, and each one of those teaches you that a different type of Motar Pesach is a Shlamim. Right now, Amarav Shmei de Magvog. So here's a Amora that we do not see too often. Here Rav says in the name of Mavog, Chatat Shishachta Lushum Chatat Nachshon Ksheira. If you shech the regular chatat, chatat chelev, chatat dam, you shech that chatat, not for another type of chatat, but a chatat nachshon. Chatat nachshon is the chatat that nachshon brought as part of the consecration of the Mishkan, the Chanukat HaMishkan, on the 12 days after Rosh Chodesh Nisan, where each of the Nisim brought a korban. Nachshon was the first one to bring it. His korban includes a chatat that you see in Parshat Naso. So if you shech the chatat, the shum nachshon, it is ksheira. Tamar Kra, the pasuk says, Zot Torat HaChatat. Torah Achat, L'chol HaChatot. A Chatat is a Chatat. Doesn't matter whether it's a Chatat Nachshon, it's a Chatat Chelev, Chatat Dam. Whatever the Chatat is, that is a good Chatat. You have a problem, like our Mishnah says, if you do it Shelo Lishma. If you do it Lo L'Shem Chatat, then it's Psula. But Chatat, L'Shem, any other type of Chatat would be Ksheira, because a Chatat is a Chatat, and therefore you haven't violated the Yoti Rabba Bakamala Hashmaitato. So Rabba was saying over this memra, eight favor of Sharsha the Rabba, Rabbi Shimon Omer, where Rabbi Shimon says in the Gemara Menachot, Kol HaMenachot SheNikmetzu Shelo Lishman Ksheirot. Any mincha where you take off the komets, which is the equivalent of shchita in a korban, if you do a shchita Shelo Lishma, it would ruin the korban. Over here, by Menachot SheNikmetzu Shelo Lishman Ksheirot Valu LeBalim L'Shum Chova. Not only is it kasher, but the Balim are discharging their obligation. As opposed to here, where you do Shkitat Shalom Lishma, it's kasher. Assuming it's not a Chatat or a Pesach, it's kasher, but lo alu the Balim. Why is that? V'sheina menachot domot l'zvachim. A mincha is different than a zevach. Chakometz machvat l'shem marcheshet. If you are a komet, it's a minchat machvat. For a minchat marcheshet, ma'aseha mochachim aleha. Shehi machvat. You can take a look at it, and you know what he's doing. The difference between a machavat and marcheshet are these are both menachot that are brought in a pot with oil in it. The difference being that a machavat is a very shallow pan, or in this is a frying pan. And therefore, it burns off the oil quickly, and the mincha is very crispy. On the other hand, if you use a deep pot, and the oil, and it sits in the oil does not burn off, and it basically becomes the equivalent of like a donut of sorts. It's a deep fried mincha. So he says that it doesn't matter that when you take a machvat, you're bringing a shallow frying pan mincha, and you say, I'm doing it l'shem marcheshet. It doesn't really matter, because I can watch you, and I know what type of mincha it is. It's crispy, it's a shallow pan, I know that that's what you're doing. So therefore, your machshava has no impact. So I know that the maseh mochim ala she machvat. Kareva l'shem blula. If you bring a dry mincha for a mixed mincha, a dry mincha is a minchat choteh that does not have oil in it, as opposed to a mincha bula, which does have oil mixed into it. Maseha mochachin shei chareva. Again, you bring a mincha that has no oil in it, and you're saying, I'm doing it l'shem bula. You take one look at the mincha, you know that it's not a mincha with an oil in it, and you know that it's a chareva. Alva b'zvachim enu kein. By zevach, that's not true. Shchita achat l'kulan. They all have the same shchita. Kabbalah achat l'kulan. They all have the same kabbalat adam. Zrika achat l'kulan. They all have the same zrikat adam. That is not exactly true, but close enough, again, that if you put one matana on the Mizbeach, that's good enough. So again, they all have the same matanot. So that taima to maseha mochachin. By menachot, the reason why we say that your makshava doesn't ruin it is because, by definition, you can see what he's doing, you know what he's making. Ha'ei maseha mochachin. Had it not been for that, lo, that would not have sufficed. Amai, why not leima zot torat mincha? Torah achat l'chol menachot. Why don't you invoke the same principle you're saying here? Zot Torah HaChatat, that all the Chatot have one din. So say the same thing by Menachot. Zot Torah HaChat B'chol HaMenachot, that there'll be one Torah for all menachot. That's why it'll be kasher. Forget about maaseh mochikan aleh. Why do you need that? Just say zot Torah menachot. No matter which mincha you have in mind, it should be fine. We don't use that. Now the truth is that the Bayit Tosef will point out that Rova in the Gemara Menachot does use that pasuk. And therefore Rova the Shita Toh is completely consistent over here. So the Rabbeinu Tam changed the Girsa in our Gemara to Rava instead of Rova in order to avoid that problem. The Bayit Tosef would say, even with that, you could still leave it as Rova because Rova is trying to make it work according to all the Shitot. And that happens to be exactly why the Gemara here quoted Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is not the only opinion over there. There's the Shita of the Chachamim. So why did they bring Rabbi Shimon? It's because we want this member of Rav to be able to fit in according to all of the Tanaim. And that's why we're asking the question. Elayitmar, hachitmar. So that we have to now rephrase that statement of Rav to this. Amar Rav Mishmei de Mavog, Chatat Shafta Manat Shit Kaper Ba Nakshon Ksheira. So instead of being Shinoi Kodesh, we're changing it into Shinoi Baalim. Which means that if you have in mind to bring a Chatat, for kapara of Nakshon. So again, here you have in your shkita, you have in mind that the Zrika of the dam is going to be a kapara for Nakshon. Ksheira, that works. Because ain't kapara, the meitim. We saw this already, that shinui balim is only relevant when the balim needs such a korban, or when the korban is relevant to that individual. That's why we said before, if you shek the chatat, the shame chatat, for another person, psula. You shek the chatat for someone who's chayav and ola, ksheira, because they're not relevant by the korban. So do over here. You shek the chatat, the shame nakshon, he's not relevant, ain't kapara the meitim. And that's why you need it. Lema meitz ba'alma. Why do you have to say nakshon? Just say, if you bring a chatat for someone who's dead, then that would be a valid korban, because there's no such thing as shinui balim. Ha, kamashmalan. It's going to teach you. Taima the meit. It's only because he passed away. Ha dechai dumi de nakshon psula. If he was alive and it was similar to nakshon, it would be psula. Umayniu. What is an example of that? Chatat nazir vechatat mitzora. Chatat nazir and chatat mitzora, as the Tosafot has been emphasizing all along, are different than regular chatot. They're not brought on a chait. They are brought in order to be matir, the nazir and the mitzora, either to release them from their restrictions or allow them to re-enter the machaneh. All those that are matirim, they're not chatot for a sin. So therefore, what you're saying here is that if I bring a chatat, the shem nafshon, it's ksheira. Because when I bring it the shem nafshon, I'm bringing it for someone who's already passed away. There's no kapara of meitim. It's somebody who's not relevant in the kapara of a chatat. That's not psula. On the other hand, if I bring a chatat, the shem, a chatat a nazir, or bring the shem a chatat in mitzora, someone's chayav, a chatat a nazir, someone who's chayav a chatat a mitzora, it would be psula. Says, why is it psula? Hane olot ninu. Those are our olot. And we said before, already, that a chatat that's brought the shame ola is ksheira. Since it's ksheira, how can you say over here that it's psula? Ela itmar hachi itmar. Again, we're going to redact this statement from Rav. In the name of Mavo, Gamarav, Mishmei de Mavo, chatat, sheshachta al shemilchuyav chatat kenakshon ksheira. Someone who sheks a korban chatat, on a chatat, like Nakshon's chatat, is ksheira. Chatat Nakshon olahi, because the chatat of Nakshon was an ola, and we said already that a chatat that you bring the shame mish tzarich ola, someone who's mechuyav an ola, is ksheira. And so to over here, when you bring a korban, al mish mechuyav chatat ke Nakshon, that will also be ksheira, because that is a chatat Nakshon olahi. It is an ola, and that's why it works, or that's why it's not disqualified. Ikedamar. So here's another version of it. Amar Rav Mishmei de Mavog, chatat sheshachta l'shem chatat nakshon, psula. Some Rishach say chatat l'shem chatat nakshon is psula. Chatat nakshon, olahi. So now we're going back to saying it's shinoi kodesh. The first series in the Gemara changed Rav to be speaking about shinoi balim. And the end, it turned out to be ksheira, because shinoi balim, when you're talking about a balim that are chayav and olah, that doesn't matter. And that's true by chatat nakshon. Now we're going back to saying it's shinoi kodesh. If you bring a chatat, the shame chatat nakshon, psula, because it's shinoi kodesh, you're changing from a chatat to an ola. Velema chatat nazir v'chatat mitzora. Then just spell it out. Why do you say that you do it the shame chatot nakshon? Just say that it's the shame chatat nazir, the shame chatat mitzora, which are also chatot that look like olot. Iker chatat nakat. The way Rashi explains it over here. Iker chatat, shoresh hachatat, shi'aita chatat yachid rishona. It was the paradigmatic type of chatat because it was the first one ever brought. It was the first chatat ayachid ever brought in the Mishkan. Therefore, they use that as the example of a chatat that is brought not for a chait. Because it's the first one, it's the paradigm, and it is telling you that a chatat and a zir chatat mitzvah or a chatat and a chon, if you do a chatat, shinui kodesh for any of those items, psula, because you're changing a chatat into an ola, we already saw, a chatat shlo lishma is psula. The first version said that if you change it lebalim, it was shinui balim, if you change it to a chatat mitzvah, a chatat nazir, a chatat nachshon, not problematic, because that's the equivalent of saying, chatat, l'shem nishim yichuyav ola, and we already said that's ksheira, and it's ksheira over here, and again, the Bali Tosafot back, when we brought that original memra about an ola and a chatat, asked, why do we need two memras? Why do we need the memra of Ravir and the memra of Rova back there? And he explained that there are two different types of chataot that you can convert it to, and it's coming to exclude both of those types of chataot. Kamarav, chatat chelev, sheshachta l'shem chatat dam, l'shem chatat avurat kochavim, ksheira. So once again here, you can note, you can see it in the Masorah Shas, you can see it in the Shituk Mugubetzet. This goes back to whether the Girsa should be Rav or Rava. We already changed it back on Dav Zayin to Rava, because the Memra earlier in the Masechta was from Rava, and all the Memra there were from Rava. If you look in the Karen Ora, he favors keeping it as Rav, and giving Rav in all the different cases over here. Either it's Rav or Rava, you just have to be consistent throughout to say that it's Rav or Rava. That a Chatat Chelev that you shefted the Chatat Dam, or chatat avodah kuvim ksheira. Those are fine chatot. That's not considered to be a shinui kodesh, because they are similar. L'shem chatat nazir, l'shem chatat mitzora, psula. If you do it for a chatat nazir or chatat mitzora, that is psula. Haine olot ninu, because they have a din of an ola, they do not have a din of a chatat, and that's shinui kodesh, which is poselet. So by rova, chatat chelev, sheshakta l'shem chatat tumat mikdash v'kodoshav, mau. What is the din with regards to that? You change it from a chatat kavua to a chatat of an ole v'yored, is that considered to be a change in the name, and it's called lo lishma, shinei kodesh? Or is it considered to be like another type of chatat, and therefore it's not lo lishma, and it would be kasher? Mi aminan karet kamota, do we say that both of them result in a punishment of karet that they're done v'mezid? Odilma ain kavua kamota, or do we say it's distinct because it's a ole v'yored and not a case of chatat kavua? So going back just to understand, chatat chelev and chatat dam are almost identical. They're brought on a chait that's chayav koreit, and they have the same korban exactly. So that's why it's not considered to be shelo lishmo, it's not considered to be shinoi kodesh, when you switch from chatat chelev to chatat dam. And it's a kosher chatat. On the other hand, when you switch to avodah zarah, yes, it's chayav koreit, like a chatat chelev, but it does have a distinction in that. Is that in Parshat Shlach Lecha, as we learned in Horiot, that the chatat can only be brought from a se'ira, it cannot be brought from a kibsa. So it is a limited type of chatat. Nevertheless, since it is dissimilar in the fact that it is karet, and it's similar in the fact that it is a se'ira, which a regular chatat could also be a se'ira. It doesn't have to exclusively be that, but it could be that. That's enough to be considered that it's not shinoi kodesh. Chatat nazir and chatat mitzora, even though they come from the same animals, they are different. First of all, they're not coming for a chiyuv karet. And number two is they're not coming on a chet at all. They're coming for an olar to be a matir. So that's considered to be shinoi kodesh, and that is psula. The question we had was about tumat nikdash v'kodeshav, which out of the three items that you bring a korban olev v'yored for, remember there is shvat bitui, shvat eidut, and tumat nikdash v'kodeshav. The first two do not result in a chiyuv karet. They're only a lav. The Tumat Mikdash V'Kodeshav results in Karet. So he says, that's the one example he brings. If you bring a Korban Chatat, the shame, Tumat Mikdash V'Kodeshav, is that considered to be Shinoi Kodesh, Shalol Dishma, because Tumat Mikdash V'Kodeshav is Olev Yoreid and not a Chatat Kabua? Or do we consider it to be the same as a Chatat, because it's a form of Chatat that comes on something that is Chayav Karet? So that's the question that he's posing. So Rav Acha, the son of Rova, says, Kulu the Psula. Rova thinks all of those are Pasul. I'm speaking about his father, that he thinks that a Chatat Dam, the shame Chatat Chelev, Chatat Dam, the shame of Avodah Zarah, Chatat Dam, the shame Olev Yoreid, Chatat Nzora Mizir, all of those are Shinoi Kodesh, and they're problematic. My Daima, the Pasuk says, Shachat Ota L'Chatat, the shame Ota Chatat. It says that you have to do it for the Chatat. Not just any chatat, it means ota chatat, that chatat in particular. You gotta get the right chatat. You change it to a different chatat, psula. So Amalei Ravashi, the Ravacha Breit the Rava, so Ravashi queries the Ravacha Breit the Rava, Boye Rava, Eche Matnitula. According to you, what was Rava's question? Clear here that Rava had a list of items that were either Pasul or Kasher, and then he had a question about one of them. According to you, there was no question. According to you, everything was Pasul. So then what was the question of Rava? Amalei, Anan b'shinui balim matninala. We learned it in Shinui Balim. B'hocha matninala. This is how we learn it. Everything is considered Shinui Kodesh and is Psula. Question is, by Shinui Balim, remember, Shinui Balim works the opposite way of Shinui Kodesh. By Shinui Kodesh, the further away you are, the more problematic you are. Because then it's a change in Korban, and that's Lo Lishmo. By Balim, the further away you are, the more kosher it's going to be, because then we say there's no Shinui Balim when the Balim are Chayav something else, that they're not relevant to this Korban. That's why if you brought a Chatat, you did it the shame of Balim, they're only Chayav and Olah, it's not Psula, because they're not relevant to this Korban Chatat. So that's what he says over here. Amar Rava, Chatat Chelev Sheshakta, Misha Mechuyav Chatat Dam, Chatat over there, Kochavim Psula. Because they're similar enough that if you change it to Balim, they are Mechuyav Chatat, that's enough to make it Psula, because it's close enough to the Chatat Adam. Amisha Mechuyav Chatat Nazir, Chatat Mitzorah is Kshera, because that's equivalent of bringing the Chatat, L'shem Mishu Chayav Ola. Ubayim Lohochi. And this is his question. Boy Rova, Chatat Chelev Sheshaftal Misha Mechuyav Chatat Tumat Mikdash V'Kodeshav Ma'o. You shechted the shame Balim for someone who's Chayav a Tumat Mikdash V'Kodeshav to Shinui Balim to somebody who's Chayav in a Kurban Olev Yoreid Mi Amrinan Karet Kamota. Do you say it's a Karet like it and therefore it's similar enough that makes it a problem of Shinui Balim? Odilma in Kavua Kamota, and therefore it's not Shinui Balim because it's equivalent to bringing it the shame someone who's Chayav in Olah. And that there is no Shinui Balim. Teiku, that we leave as an unresolved issue over here. All right, so we're going to stop here by the two dots at the bottom of Tet Amud Bet.